Today on Real Life Radio.
According to the Bible, do you see angels appearing as common people and then disappearing in the Bible? Do you have records of that? Yeah, the Bible says angels can appear and be among you and you not even know who they are, thinking that they're just another person.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Did you know there's an easy way to stay informed on the latest biblical events shaping our world today? Check out the Happening Now section at jackhibbs.com. Now, these live events feature Pastor Jack Hibbs alongside special guests, diving into current events, cultural shifts, and how they align with biblical prophecy. It's a unique blend of Bible teaching and real-time analysis that helps you make sense of today's headlines through the lens of Scripture. Happening Now, it's not just about information. It's about equipping you with the truth and encouraging you to stand firm in your faith, no matter what's happening around you. Now, these discussions are eye-opening, they're thought-provoking, and they're a great way to stay spiritually grounded in a rapidly changing world. Whether you watch live or catch up on past events, Happening Now will help keep you connected to God's Word and what's going on in the world today. Visit jackhibbs.com and click on Happening Now. Don't just watch the news. Understand it from a biblical perspective. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message titled Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 3. Now, the Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. And Peter's approach to Christianity was to love the way that Jesus loves and to pursue him with all of our hearts. Now, previously we saw how the Bible can be both challenging and thought-provoking. And you know, when it comes to God's Word, we all have access to the truth. Jesus tells us in his own words that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that eternal life in heaven only comes by having a personal relationship with him. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that the Bible refers to angels as entities that can physically appear and disappear in and out of our realm of being. And indeed, they're not our grandma's little cherubims, but they're capable of supernatural strength. Please note that today's episode contains content that may not be appropriate for young listeners. So if you have young ones in the room or the car with you, listener discretion is advised. Now with his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. I just want to submit to you today that there is a battle between the spiritual realms of darkness and of mankind today. One spiritual, one physical, one able to invade on a level that, for example, Genesis chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, Now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth, that's totally normal, and daughters were born to them, of course, we know that the sons of God, church, what did you learn last week and what did you study this week? Who are the sons of God? Angels, exclusively angels in the Old Testament, 100%. There's not a Hebrew scholar in the universe that will say those are men. Every Jew, the rabbis teach this today still. Why? Because it is 100% accurate. The daughters of men are females born from man. The sons of God are angelic creatures. And the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took, seized wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And look at God's response. Now, God is not going to say this just because a believer and a non-believer got married. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. That's when the stopwatch started, time's up. Verse 4, watch. There were giants on the earth in those days. Gigantus is the word. Raphaim. Or you heard the word Nephilim, same. On the earth in those days and afterward. What does that mean? There were giants in the land before the flood and giants in the land after the flood. When the sons of God came into, that is intercourse, the daughters of men, and they bore to them children, And you keep reading, they were giants, they were freaks. You can see that in verses of, 5, 6, and 7. They were men of renown. That means they were men of extreme violence, extreme abilities, that they were giants, they were extremely powerful, and they were terrifying. Some of the names given to them by those of antiquity of that era were the shining ones, by the way. When the 12 spies sent out by Moses to look into the promised land, 10 of them came back and said, "We saw giants, shining ones in the land, Raphaim, they're massive, and we were the size of grasshoppers and compared to these people." And of course, you've got two wild men, Caleb and Joshua, that are saying, "Yeah, so what? They are gigantic. Let's go kill them. You don't need many guys like that." But it was awesome. But look at Genesis 6, verse 8. It says, "But," I love that. Circle that word "but" right there. It means in contrast to or different from. So in contrast to what we just read, different from what we just read, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man. Church, I want to see if you remember. Perfect. The word, Hebrew word, tamim. Noah was intact. The word means untainted, unpolluted, unmixed, without mixture. In his generation, Noah walked with God. Noah was different. What was happening here? The Bible says that these fallen angels looked upon human women and manifest themselves, became a tangible. Listen, if you know your Bible, if you don't know your Bible, you're probably already freaking out. But if you know your Bible, quiz. According to the Bible, do you see angels appearing as common people and then disappearing in the Bible? Do you have records of that? Yeah, the Bible says angels can appear and be among you and you not even know who they are, thinking that they're just another person. That's weird. That's creepy. I know Hollywood does that stuff, and that's okay as long as it's on the silver screen. But when it gets off the screen and walks up the theater aisle, that's another story. God says it happens. It happened to Abraham. It happened to Lot. It happens in the Bible where an angel will appear and have a conversation with somebody, and they don't even know it's an angel. Man, if an angel can do that, can a fallen angel do it? See, we don't like that. No, you lost your supernatural powers, and you can't cross that line right there. Excuse me, the Bible says these are really, really bad angels. They have been ejected from heaven. They have been ejected from heaven for a lot of reasons, but some of them are even bound in a certain place called Tartarus because of the gravity of their sin. Jude chapter 1, verse 5. 6 and 7, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode," that's creepy, "he has reserved an everlasting change under darkness for the judgment of the great day." That's scary, because that's a reference to the tribulation period. They're going to get out. Verse 7, "As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in similar manner of these, having been given themselves over to" what? "Sexual immorality, went after strange flesh," unsanctioned, unnatural flesh. Some humans stopped having sex with some humans, angelic beings who are not supposed to cross the line in their fallen condition, manifested themselves, crossed over, and fulfilled Genesis chapter 6. And the Bible says, from them were born these men of renown. Weird, strange beings. Human-like, massive. The Bible describes two of them as being men who were killed in battle, who were like lions in the face. Now you say, well, that just means they're hairy. It could be, but they're also giants. They were actually giants. Raphaim. Deuteronomy 3, verse 11. We know one of their names. We know actually quite a bit of their names, but this one, he goes by the name of Og, the king, Og, who is king of Bashan. Deuteronomy 3:11. It says that For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the, see the word giants in your English Bible? The Hebrew Bible's Raphaim. Indeed, his bedstead, his comfort bed was an iron bedstead. Is it not in Rabbah of the people of Ammon? In other words, hey, you know his bed? Isn't it funny? It's in the Bible, Deuteronomy 3. Yeah, you know that guy? He's left. He's one of the giants. Oh, hey, by the way, Moses is, sounds like he's saying, have you gone to the museum to see it? It's still there. You should go see it. See what? Look, it says that his bed is 9 cubits long. So what's 9 cubits? Listen, do the math. 9 cubits, a human cubit is from the tip of your elbow to the top of your baby finger here, and it ranges dependent upon the tallest and the shortest of human beings. The average is 18 to 22 inches. That's how you build things in the ancient world. That was your measuring stick, okay? So that bed was at or around 15 feet, 16 feet long. And then look what it says. It says that his bed right here is the width is 4 cubits wide. That's 6 feet or more wide. And it says that it goes by the standard of a cubit, which is the measurement of a man. See, Jack, what are we talking about this stuff for? Because the Bible says that there was a time before the flood and after the flood that there were giants in the land and that they were freaks according to our understanding of what a human should be like. And what the Bible teaches is that this is the result, listen now, this is the result of Genesis 6, Jude chapter 1, 1 Peter 3, and in the future, 2 Peter as well, Daniel chapter 2, where these manifest creatures, these angels, were very interested in females. Why? You got to ask the question, why? Well, they're all male. That's okay, they're men. All angels are men. We don't know that. We assume that. Did you know that? He said, no, the Bible says that. Jesus said in heaven, we'll be like the angels. We will not be given in marriage. So we don't know if there's male or female angels. It just says that nobody in heaven gets married. Angels don't get married. We just made this assumption. Where did that come from? You know what I'm saying? Oh, all angels are male. We don't know that. We made that assumption. What's weird is that the Bible teaches us that in a fallen world where sex and sin was so rampant that what was normal sex became abnormal sex, and what happened was a culture that was absolutely obsessed where even their gods, all of their gods, had sex-related worship practices. And when I say gods, I'm talking about those mythological gods. And you can study this at your leisure. It's actually fascinating to study. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that when he comes back. And let me ask you something. Do you really believe that? Jesus said it's going to be. So if I were to ask you, hey, tell me what it was like, chances are that you're going to miss describing how bad it was in the days of Noah. And then if I were to ask you, how bad do you think it's going to be? You'll probably miss imagining that as well. We don't even know what it's like yet to see a culture like this.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
But when you think of like these various ranks, listen, seraphim are angelic creatures, heavenly or spirit creatures, cherubim, angels, archangels, Raphaim, Anakim. I'm not even talking about demons yet. That's a whole different realm. They have various dwelling restrictions. But let me tell you, according to the Bible, what angels and the spirit beings are not like. Let me show you your first image. This is what they're not like. Okay? This is more... Wouldn't you like it if angels were like this? Now, let me paraphrase. Daniel said, I saw an angel and it appeared to me and I was terrified. I fell on my face and I became like a dead man. And for many days, I lay sick and weak because of the voice of the angel and its terrifying appearance. Okay, I don't think so. No. Let's look at the next slide. Maybe more something like this. You say, what in the world is that? That's a great question. Regarding the cherubim and seraphim that are in the presence of God, regarding descriptions by the prophet Ezekiel, John in Revelation, Isaiah, they saw in the spirit realm multiple manifestations of God's presence and or God's angels. In fact, this description here of what is understood to be a seraphim, the Bible says, I saw this winged creature that had eyes within and without, eyes all about. Obviously, no one caught a selfie of a seraph. This is an artist rendering. But when you read the biblical description, whoever the artist is, rendered his interpretation. Regardless, it is terrifying. If you saw that in the sky, you'd freak. There's another image that I want to show you that, of course, these are earthly images, but this next one, remember this, that they're not of this world. Now you say, why do you show us this one? Well, because as I mentioned last week, God dispatched one angel from his presence that had a sword who killed 185,000 Syrian army troops in one night. They're not human, but they have the ability to not only manifest their presence to the point where they can take the form of a human being, whereby you do not even know that it's something supernatural, but when they appear seemingly, as we'll see in a moment, in their created state, they are absolutely terrifying. The book of Genesis tells us that God set two angels with flaming swords at the entrance of the garden to protect mankind from the tree of life. Now, this one right here, artist rendering, can you imagine for a moment? Psalm 78, verse 49, that says, he unleashes against them in his hot anger and wrath and indignation and hostility a band of destroying angels. What can a human do about this? Listen, a human can do nothing about this. Stop right there. The only person that can do something about this is a Christian. Is the Christian. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ has granted us the authority over angels, over demons, over principalities and powers. Listen, church, all of a sudden, listen, keep that on the screen. God help us if we are some sort of people that either hide in the corner and shiver when we even think about such things, or we think about such things and we go around acting like we can slap them in the face and push them around. The truth of the matter is we ain't got no power against that stuff, but the power of the Holy Spirit in us has absolute power over this. It is absolutely impossible for a Christian with the Holy Spirit in him to be possessed by something like this. It's not possible. The Bible says it's impossible. But if you're not a Christian today, this is possible. These things can come. These things can attack your thoughts. These things can manifest, as the Bible talks about. They're not of this world. They dwell in a transcendent and a much more complex physical realm than we do. Their physics can change in an instant. We're bound. We're stuck right now. Next slide. Let's look at this one. Now, that's not very encouraging, is it? A moment ago, I mentioned that death angel going through to defend Israel and killing 185,000 Assyrian forces. Can you imagine? Listen, the Bible makes it very clear that for you and I live in this world, but around us is a world that is spiritual. And we don't like to dwell upon that much at all. But we need to wake up. If what Jesus said is true, in the last days, it's going to be like the days of Noah. If we study the days of Noah and find out that it was not only decadent and pagan and barbaric, but there were literal infiltrations and manifestations of spiritual entities that had invaded the world, even to the point where there was seemingly altered genetic involvement taking place, that women were bearing children that were giants, the Bible says, six-fingered, six toes, men of renown, men that could not be defeated unless God was involved, and David killed one of them with a stone. Or actually, he hit him in the face with a stone. He didn't kill him. David ran up there, grabbed his sword, which was ginormous, it says. And imagine David gets that sword and drags it up over Goliath's neck. And this goes back and forth on that neck. He was so happy, he would carry that head around. The sons of Anak, the Bible calls them. The Anakim. Write it down, look it up. The sons of Anak. Throughout the Bible, there's the sons of Anak and the descendants of the Anakim. The word appears in the Hebrew, Emim, Nephilim, Raphaims. They're known as the shadowers. They're known as those who parallel our world. They walk alongside, invisible to us. They have bad intent. They've been deceived by none other than Lucifer himself. They're now held by him under his command to do his bidding. And then my Bible tells me that I should walk in the light as Christ is in the light, so that I might have fellowship with God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Look What Jesus Christ Did, Part 3. You know, by the way, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, A Study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
I sat right beside June Hunt at the in Dallas at the CBN convention for the last dinner. It was pretty cool.
She's awesome. And
she's sweet, but you'd never know. I mean, when we were sitting there talking, I thought, this lady is so sweet. She's probably with someone who's, you know, prominent in our.
Oh yeah, she is. She's with Jesus.
She's with Jesus
all the time.
And she is too, man.
June Hunt walks with the Lord.
I was so impressed with her.
She is a wonderful woman of God. We've got a book that we could not endorse enough. Yeah. And it's not only because we love June Hunt, but this is a book that literally has over 11,000 biblical references in it. It's the Biblical Counseling Reference Guide. Davey, this is amazing because, look, we all need this book because why? It references and answers 580 real-life topics.
Yeah.
Issues of life.
And it's been said it's not a book that you'd read from cover to cover.
True.
Right? She covers all kinds of topics like anxiety, anger, forgiveness, you know?
Well, look, in fact, I'll do a book roulette, not a good thing to do. But with this book, you
this
can
book
do
it's
it.
Good, yeah.
So I'm flipping through the book. I'm going to stop and I'm going to open it up.
What do you got?
And here is a string of verses on complaining and grumbling.
No kidding.
So the Lord must have had us open it up. For producer Johnny. Just kidding. But you guys, this book, it's that wonderful. Here's another one, grief. And I'm looking, there's, I don't know how many verses here on what does the Bible say about grieving? We all need to know this.
Yeah.
Please get this book. If I had the money, I'd buy it and give it to all of you. The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide, 580 real life topics, 11,000 verses. June Hunt, I mean, it's just over the top.
You know, she really seems like a person that just leans on the Word of God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every once in a while you meet somebody, you go, wow, this person knows the Word of God.
I tell you what, and I hope she's not listening to this broadcast right now because she'll be embarrassed. But when I've been around June Hunt, I have the deep sense that I'm in the presence of someone who really knows the Lord in a very intimate way, very personal way. This woman walks, speaks, and ministers in the grace of God. She's a wonderful saint, and we just thank the world of her. And you guys, all that wisdom and guidance coming from the Bible and organized by June Hunt.
It's kind of a tool that you turn to when, you know, life hits with hard questions and stuff. When a counseling situation comes up, it's great to have.
Well, and you mentioned the word counseling, as is the title of the book, The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide. What I would like to do is encourage everybody, because, you know, people will hear the word counseling and they'll think either A, they don't need it,
yeah,
or B, they don't know how to give it. Mm. How about this? This book will equip you to give out biblical guidance,
yeah,
to those who ask, and for yourself. You know, and June Hunt, again, we've talked about how precious she is, but she's the founder of the wonderful ministry Hope for the Heart. And she's a treasure in the church today, and we're grateful to God for her.
The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide by June Hunt. It's our thank you gift for your donation of any size to Real Life this month. And if you'd like to order your copy, and we hope you will, just visit jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.